Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
Hey guys, brand new episode this week. But before we get started, TrueCar is a sponsor making it possible for me to bring you Backseat Rider for free each week. And if you're looking to buy a car, you're probably familiar with terms like MSRP. You might even know what that stands for, but what does it actually mean? Same goes for invoice, list price, dealer price. It's enough to confuse anybody, right? When all you're really looking for is a price that actually means something, introducing True Price from True Car. Now you can know exactly what you'll pay for the car that you want, including fees and accessories, before you even get to the dealership. True Car dealers will show you the true price on cars like the one you want, all from the comfort of home. And how do you know if your true price is a great price? Because True Car shows you what other people paid for that same car that you want. And your certified dealers know this so they can set their true price competitively so they can win your business. So when you are ready to buy a new or a used car, visit True Car to enjoy a more confident car buying experience. Some features not available in all states.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com presentation.
Anyone who is close to me, who has spent any significant amount of time with me over the last few months, is aware right now that I'm going on this kick right now, delving into my own unconscious, okay? And I know that sounds a little weird, but I don't know. It was spawned by a neurologist friend of mine who I saw at a college reunion who talked about how Buddhists could actually control their dreams. And that got me kind of down this rabbit hole on the internet, which eventually led me to lucid dreaming material. I eventually started keeping a dream journal, started reading a lot of Carl Jung, and have gotten really into lucid dreaming. And if you're unfamiliar with lucid dreaming, it's basically where you're dreaming and in the middle of the dream, you realize that you're dreaming. This happens in the middle of the night when you're in REM sleep. And so when you realize that you are dreaming, you can take control of many aspects of the dream. And I've had some pretty decent success with this recently. And so I'm actually planning on doing a full-blown episode on this topic pretty soon. That's in the works. But long story short, there's a lot you can do once you achieve lucidity in a dream. And so one of the purported benefits of lucid dreaming, and I have never experienced this, I've never tried to do it, but one of the purported benefits is being able to communicate with people who have passed on. Okay, again, that's not something I necessarily believe or have tried. However, this past week, I had the opportunity to drive a self-described medium here on Backseat Rider. His name is Thomas John, and he's done psychic readings for all kinds of not only celebrities, but also everyday people. He does these group readings. And Thomas was in Chicago this past week. He was doing a couple of events. And he's got a new show that is about to debut on Lifetime. It's called Seatbelt Psychic. And it's actually really similar to Backseat Rider in many ways because for the show, like me, he is a rideshare driver. But instead of asking passengers about the topic of the week like I do, Thomas John sees if the passenger wants a reading. Okay, so in this episode, I share the car with Thomas John for about 20 minutes or so, 25 minutes, and we then proceed into my own family territory, okay? He gives me a reading or a short reading, more specifically, communicating with a number of my own deceased relatives, okay? And part of the reason I'm actually posting this episode is so my own family members can listen to this interview in its entirety and they can judge for themselves whether this guy is legit. So without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the medium, Thomas John.
All right, so Thomas John, welcome to Backseat Rider.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
I feel like because you voluntarily are riding in the backseat, that means we're going to have a safe ride. correct?
That's good. Yes, that makes sense.
Okay, so what brings you to Chicago this week?
I actually have a couple of events this week. I've got an event at Unity Church up in Rogers Park on Friday, and then an event on Sunday in Oak Brook.
Okay, and tell me about these events. Are these open to the public?
Yes, they're open to the public. You can get tickets on my website. So these are group readings where I actually pick people out of the audience to give them readings, psychic readings, medium readings.
Okay. And this is similar to what you do for your upcoming Lifetime show, correct? Tell me the model for this show.
So the show that I'm doing is Seatbelt Psychic. So it's a show actually kind of similar to this where people get in my car and I don't know anything about them. And I tell them when, you know, I'm a rideshare driver, so I pick them up to bring them somewhere. And when they get in the car, I tell them that I'm a psychic medium and would they be open to having a reading. And if they are, I give them a reading.
Okay, so completely randomly chosen via either the Uber or Lyft app then?
Yes, through an app that we just, yeah, and they are going to a destination to get picked up, and it's you know, it's all done in terms of they are actually rideshare passengers, yes.
Yeah, that's how I do it too. My show is Backseat Rider, and what I do is, yeah, I'm a Lyft driver here in Chicago, and whoever ends up in the back seat, I see if they want to do an interview on my topic of the week.
Oh, cool.
So we have a very similar model.
Yes,
it's
we do.
Just, I don't have the crazy skills that you do.
You don't talk to the dead people.
I don't talk to the dead people. So I understand that you have been doing this since you were just a young boy, and it started with a vision. Can you tell me about that experience?
Yeah. Well, when I was 4 years old, had a visitations, I would call them, from my grandfather, and I didn't know him. It was my dad's father, and I never met him. He died before I was born. So at first, my parents, I grew up in a small town, Catholic, you know, the whole nine yards. At first, when I started talking about my dead grandfather, I think my parents were like, okay, whatever, this is weird, but they didn't really think twice about it. But as I started to be able to communicate more and talk more and things like that, it became clear to my parents, especially as I've talked to my mom about it a lot since, that I was communicating with something, because it wasn't like imagination, because there were things that I didn't know, that there wouldn't be things that I would know. For example, my mom had a sister that had died when she was about 9 years old. She had died of leukemia. Well, obviously at 6 years old, I didn't know that I had an aunt that died. We didn't talk about that. And I told my mom several times that I saw a girl in a purple and white polka dot dress, lilac dress, and that she was holding a briefcase. And my mom later told me that her sister that died when she was 9 years old was buried in a purple and white polka dot dress. And she used to play doctor, like, as a kid, like 7 and 8 years old, and she'd walk around with a briefcase. And that's, like, the one memory my mom has of her. So my mom kind of knew, okay, this is weird. You know, you're connecting with something. But it really wasn't until much later. I mean, in all truthfulness, my parents, they did the best they could, but they weren't supportive of it, definitely. We'll say that they were probably non-supportive. So it wasn't really until I broke away from all that and I was able to move away and go to college. I actually went to the University of Chicago, and I came, and I was away from that I really understood it more.
So you are how old now?
When I went to college?
Now, how old are you?
Oh, now I'm 33.
33. And so at this point, how seriously do your parents take your abilities?
You know, truthfully, I'm not really that close to my dad, but my mom has done a 180-degree turnaround. She has totally embraced it. She totally believes in it. And she actually helps me at some of my events sometimes, and she... And what she describes it is just she, you know, even since I was, you know, because, of course, when I was so 4 years old till now is almost 30 years ago, she even tells me that, you know, well, we didn't know what that was. There weren't psychics on TV. Nobody ever talked about, you know, that stuff. I mean, now at least we have a little bit more. It's more in the culture of things. We understand it a little bit, even though there's still skeptics and stuff. So I think for my mom, it wasn't like, it was more of a, fear that something was wrong with me or something.
Got it. So she's done a 180. That's very, that's cool.
Yeah, it is cool. And it's, you know, it's been based on her experiences and mine and, you know, her losing people that she loved and her watching the work that I do and stuff. So it's been cool. It's brought us closer together.
What are you hoping to bring to the public? What are you hoping that people take away from your show?
You know, I hope that people realize that our loved ones are with us and that they're always around us, whether it be in our daily lives, whether it be in a ride share, whether it be in a, in our daily lives, but they are connected to us. And that bond we have is eternal. And we have that connection. And I think even as somebody who does this work on a daily basis, you know, I don't even fully understand it over there, what happens. I mean, I have different ideas from based on my readings, but who can really say what happens when we die? I mean, I don't think anybody who says that they know 100% would be not being honest. So, but I have a lot of inclinations and I have beliefs based on doing thousands of readings, but I just want people to know that their loved ones are around them still.
When you say over there, what do you mean?
Well, there's more than just the physical world. I mean, we just know that from near-death experiences. We know that from just the evidence that comes from mediums, different cultural things. But it's clear that our life doesn't begin and end with just what we can see. So there's another dimension, I feel.
Is there any kind of internal process that you can describe for me when you're doing a reading? Let's say you're doing a group reading where you mm-hmm. pull out people from the audience and you're able to, because I've seen a lot of the clips.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of your clips and you seem to know a lot about people that you've never met before.
Right.
What's your internal process when you do those readings?
The best way I can explain it to you would be that I start to receive information. It's almost in the way that you, it's almost like the way you receive information as memories. So, for example, if I was to say to you, hey, try to remember, you know, what the fourth grade was like for you. You know, you're not going to remember everything in sequential order, day by day, hour by hour, but you're going to have flashes of things. You're going to have impressions of things. You're going to maybe remember somebody's faces or a certain situation. That's kind of how I receive information. The only thing is this information makes no sense to me because I haven't lived that life. So I then have to explain it to the people. I also get information, you know, metaphorically. So I'll see a clown nose if somebody had a great sense of humor. I'll see, you know, there's different symbols that they'll use that's kind of a psychic kind of shorthand just to get me to bring up things. So that's basically the best way I can explain it. It's very much in my mind's eye, my memory.
Right, right. I can relate to that. Now, is this ability, you know, we're passing people on the street right now. Can you see the gentleman with the black briefcase right there?
Yes.
Can you tell me anything about that gentleman?
You know what? The bus got in the way right now. Hold on.
Yeah, the bus got in the way.
Maybe we
could do one on the way back.
Okay, great.
Let's do that because we're rocking and rolling down the Mag Mile right now. Okay, well, I don't know. Can we try something here in the car?
Sure.
Okay. Are you picking anything up from the driver's seat here?
Well, I will tell you, when I got in the car, I did feel you have a very positive energy. I just felt your energy is very, I felt like sometimes even if you're quieter, you have a very positive energy in the world, and your aura is very open and very clear. I always feel somebody's aura when I get in the car. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that I felt very connected to a grandmother that was around you. And I was definitely feeling like you knew this woman in the physical world. So you definitely knew her, met her. I don't feel it's somebody that passed before you were born. And when I was connecting with her, I felt more drawn to your father's side with this woman. And I felt that she, I felt like she was very elderly when she passed. I didn't feel like she was a young woman or 50s or 60s. She was an older woman. She's giving me the feeling of like, she had, I almost feel like she had a very simple life, like the way she carried herself. I don't feel she was a person where she, you know, she wasn't like really over the top and stuff. I feel like she was more of just a very simple person, simple things. And I got a sense of her a lot cooking in the kitchen, spending a lot of time in the kitchen. I saw even images of going over there and smells in the kitchen and watching her in the kitchen. And I feel that she actually is one of the people that she kind of guides you. I feel like she actually is one of the people that I would say is like a spirit guide for you. She's showing me also, I did see a rosary too. So I felt like she, I saw that, it's interesting because she's telling me that, you know, I almost want to tell you when I connect with this woman, I mean, it's, sometimes I'll get things that's kind of exaggerated the way they show me, but I almost want to say, I feel like this woman was like a saint. It feels like, she was very, you know, she carried herself in a way where she was just, I feel like she was a very loving person. She's just kind of reminding you that, you know, you have part of her in you too. So just, you know, as you go through life and stuff and, you know, she touched people's lives and you do through the things that you do, but it might be different type of thing. But I feel like she's telling me something about, I guess this would be a message to your dad, but I feel like she's saying like to tell him to not work too hard. but she's very, I feel her very connected to you. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And how did those images come to you just there?
A lot with her, I felt more things about her. Like I could almost feel the type of person she was. Almost like if I walk into a room, I can feel people, you know, I can feel that's a positive person. I can feel things about people. So even when somebody's deceased, I can feel things about their personality. I can feel things about how they carry themselves. I can feel things of how they might have been, you know, in life.
Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. Yeah, you did a pretty good job describing Mama Moxie. Mm-hmm. That's my dad's mom, who had rosaries all around her apartment. And I think if you asked anyone on that side of the family, they would tell you Mama Moxie was like a saint.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
She would make tortillas for the entire neighborhood in East Chicago, Indiana.
Oh, wow.
And I would say that, you know, especially in her older years, it was a simple, mm-hmm. But very loving kind of lifestyle mm-hmm. that she led. She expressed her love through cooking mm-hmm. and her food.
Yeah, food, yeah.
And she was a provider like that. And, you know, we're different, but I, you know, when I think about, you know, my grandparents who at this point have all passed, but I knew all four, which was great. I lived with the ones on my mom's side for a while. But a lot of what you said definitely conjured up for me lots of memories and good feelings about Mama Moxie. So thank you. Now, for the skeptic, you know, I'm a journalist. I have to ask all these questions.
Yeah.
What if I was to say, you know, he could have Googled that, somehow tracked down via Facebook some images of Mama Moxie and know she was a big Catholic and had mm-hmm. rosaries right. and things like that. What would you say?
Well, I think that everybody is, you know, entitled to be a skeptic, and certain people are and certain people aren't. So I think that's really for the person who, you know, obviously what we did in the car is like 60 seconds, but in a reading, you know, 30-minute reading, 15-minute reading, hour reading, so many things come through. People's personalities, energy, names, you know, experiences. So, I think it's good to be a skeptic. You know, mm-hmm. I think that it is important to kind of have that mentality when you go into these types of things and you know, see how you feel in the experience. It just really depends.
Sure. I mean, can we keep going with it?
Yeah, of course.
Okay.
The other thing I will tell you, too, that I was feeling is a couple things. So one thing is honestly, I will tell you, I feel like I could be moving into another person, but in terms of like another relative that wants to come through, mm-hmm. but I'm going to keep connecting with her with just a couple more things. But I feel like when I'm connecting with her, she's showing me also. So I saw the cooking thing. I also was feeling that she wanted to express. That she was really at peace at the end with her passing. Like, I feel like she's telling me she was in a good place at the end. She's okay with her passing. I feel like she's totally accepted her passing. The other thing I was seeing, and I feel like, when I'm connecting with this, I feel like now I'm more on your mom's side. But I do feel a male energy that's coming through. I feel that this would be more, of a grandfather type of figure. I feel this person also very close to you, that he watches over you. And I also keep seeing something about working with his hands. So I don't know if this person, I see them doing a lot of things with their hands. And I also was feeling like, when I connect with this person, I feel things in chest, heart related things. And I'm also, this man that's coming through, he keeps showing me the letter A. So when I see the letter A, I feel like this is probably somebody, the way I'm getting it, I feel like this might be somebody that he's talking about that's in the living world. But he keeps showing me the letter A. But I feel like this is definitely more on your mom's side. I feel like I've totally left your, I feel like I've totally left your dad's side. And there's also somebody that I'm getting that's passed with an F. Now the A person that I'm connecting with, they're more alive, but there's also somebody that I'm connecting with in spirit, another male coming through. That I don't know. It's interesting. I'm not getting as much with him. I don't really know why, but I'm not. But I see the letter F. And also, I want to tell you too. I was getting like a really strong sense about this, but I see some, because sometimes I will get impressions of things that are coming up in somebody's life. I see something about either moving or buying another house, getting a different house. I don't know if there's something where you're like changing your house or something, but I saw something about your house being changed or moving or looking to move or something.
Wow. Yeah. My wife and I are about to move back into our old house.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. They're telling me that it's going to be, it's a good decision. Yeah.
It's a good decision.
For now, I'm not getting that it's like a permanent thing. Like, mm-hmm. It feels like you may then, you're going to move again in a few years, but I'm feeling for now it's the right thing.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That was good. Yeah, so here, this week,
yeah,
my wife and I actually just last night made the decision that, and I don't know if my parents are going to be watching this, I guess I could break the news to them right now. Thanks for letting us crash for the last year and a half. But yeah, it's probably time for us to move back to our own house. and then, so I don't know, the A you may have been getting was, if it was my grandpa, the male energy, mm-hmm. you were getting, my mom's name is Anne.
Uh-huh.
So okay. That could have been it. My name's Anthony.
Right. Yeah, this, I don't think it wouldn't have been you, though, obviously. I think it would be like a different person. It was felt like, yeah. So that.
Do you know it? Are you able to? You know, I know my mom was super, super tight with her dad.
Yeah.
Super, super tight, and in many ways, I feel like she's still coping with his loss, which it's been a couple of years.
Mm-hmm.
But are you able to pick up anything? A message I could relay to my mom?
Yeah. From him? He's. I feel from him that he's definitely around her a lot. I do feel like You know, and it was interesting because I felt like your grandmother that was coming through at first, for some reason she has a very big energy, I feel mm-hmm. like. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's almost like your grandfather kind of like let her come through. But I felt with your, it's, and these two people knew each other, right? Like,
yes.
Your grandmother and your grandfather, they got to meet and stuff.
Yeah, even
right?
though they were on yeah. opposite sides, yes.
Because it's interesting because it's like your grandfather's telling me that she was, yeah, very respected in your family, or they, you know, people knew who she was and stuff. But I was just going to say, with your grandfather, I feel like, did he outlive your grandmother?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
So the grandfather on my mom's side did outlive
I mean, did your grandfather on your mom's side, did he outlive his wife?
No, actually, the wife outlived him, but they passed almost like, 1-2
okay.
kind of deal. Yeah, I think she kind of let go after he passed.
Okay. Yeah, I think with your... but he outlived your grandmother that I connected with at first.
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Yes.
I want to say I just feel from him that he's, it feels like what he's telling me is, yeah, he's around your mom a lot. He mm-hmm. actually kind of watches over her and stuff. And he keeps showing me the image of a nurse hat, which means like a medical sign, which means to me like, he kind of feels like your mom helped take care of him at the end, or that she was, you know, she was there for him at the end. He appreciates what she did for him. I definitely feel with your mom's mom and your mom's dad, like, I feel they were soulmates. And so a lot of times, yeah, if one passes, it really affects the other one's energy. So it can kind of like pull the other one, or the other one kind of wraps things up. That happens a lot. Mm-hmm. But you know, I feel like your mom with her dad. It's interesting because he's telling me that he visits her sometimes in dreams. Like, he'll come into her dreams. So I don't know. You'll have to ask her if she has dreams
okay.
with him. Yeah,
I will. I'll ask my mom if she has a lot of dreams involving granddad.
Yeah.
Okay, we're back here at Fox. We survived, too,
yeah.
so that was good. And what do you want Chicagoans to know about your shows? How can they catch you? And what do you want them to know?
Well, I'll be here Friday and Sunday for events. I actually come to Chicago quite a bit. And just want to invite everybody to tune in July 11th for the premiere of Seatbelt Psychic on Lifetime.
On Lifetime. Okay, perfect. Well, I appreciate the insight.
Thank you.
I appreciate the insight, and as a fellow rideshare driver, I'll be tuning into your show.
Okay, thanks.
Thanks so much, Thomas. Right.
Coming up, seconds after he got out of the car, I got on the phone with my mom to check some of his answers.
Hey there.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good, how are you?
Good. I have a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever have dreams where granddad visits you in the dream?
Oh, yeah.
Mom's reaction to Thomas John's reading in just a moment. But before you hit fast forward, a couple of housekeeping things. First, a sponsor that is helping make it possible for me to bring you this podcast for free in 2018, and that is Geico. Everybody's got a to-do list. Drop off the dry cleaning, pick up some milk. Well, here's an idea. Let's save hundreds of dollars on car insurance to the list. And the good thing is you don't have to drop off or pick up anything. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket, it just may be the most rewarding to-do you do today. And if you like this podcast, be sure to check out the Dennis Miller option every Wednesday at Podcast One. The snarky king of comedy is back to provide his no-holds-barred opinion on current events, politics, pop culture, and whatever else is on his mind. So check out the Dennis Miller option at Podcast One and Apple Podcasts. Also, remember to rate and review. Okay, I'm going to call my mom and see if anything he said was accurate, all right? I'm going to call her right here. She has no idea I'm calling right now. In fact, I don't even know if she's going to pick up right now. We'll see.
Hi there.
Hey, Mom.
Hey.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Good. I have a quick question. Do you ever have dreams where Granddad visits you in the dream?
Oh, yeah.
How often?
Fairly often.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll talk to you later about whether I can use this in a story, but I'm sitting in the car right now. I just did a backseat rider segment with a medium, you know?
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he basically told me that visions were coming through of my mom's dad who'd passed away with the letter A. Someone like the letter A, but not me. So it had to have been you. And that, he just said he's around you a lot, and that he visits you in your dreams. So,
oh yeah, yeah, it's true.
Okay, well,
okay,
there you go.
There you go. Cool. Right. Very cool.
All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right.
All right. Bye.
Talk to ya. Okay. Bye.
Okay, now for my own post-game analysis on that reading, and I'm going to start with what I really feel like he got right. First and foremost, the thing he said about moving houses and relocating. The reason that struck me was my wife and I had just had that conversation the night before the car ride about deciding to move back into our house. We didn't post anything about it on social media. We hadn't even told my parents about it. In fact, the first my parents heard of it was, and this was kind of awkward, was when my mom listened to the raw audio of the interview. Second, the saint thing. That was also spot on, and I didn't want to tip my hand too much in the car, but that was right on the money. Mama Moxie, on my dad's side, was very much a saintly figure, and there have been a couple times where, personally, I've needed small miracles in my life, and if I channel Mama Moxie, they come true. That said, I know not to go to that well unless it's super important. Next thing he said that really stood out was the thing about the rosaries. And my dad pointed out that not only did Mama Moxie have a lot of rosaries, but one of her main hobbies was making rosaries for other people. So those are the main things that really hit hard from the reading for me on the positive end. Now, as for what he did not get right or that didn't feel right when he said it was, my dad, he has already scaled back his work schedule, so I don't really think he's working too hard in terms of broadcasting because he's kind of winding down slowly. That's his quote-unquote day job, as he said. However, and this may be my own interpretation of what he said, I do sometimes worry that my dad works too hard physically in the garden. He's a really talented landscape artist, and he does a lot of work outside. I believe he's 68 years old right now, so maybe that reading was a warning about too much manual labor from Mama Moxie. The second thing is, when he was talking about my mom's dad, he referenced his hands, did a lot of work with his hands. And Granddad, you know, he really didn't do too much physical labor as far as I know. He was in city government and didn't really have any physical hobbies other than an occasional round of golf. That said, if the medium did get a vision of a pair of hands, my mom also later pointed out that Granddad suffered from really bad arthritis in his hands, and his hands were this constant issue for him, something that he thought about a lot and gave him a lot of problems and pain and stuff, especially in his later years. So that could be that could explain the vision of the hands, at least from my mom's point of view. Okay, with that, I would be curious to hear what all of you think. Is Thomas John legit? All right, I posted that question in the Backseat Rider Facebook group, and so I look forward to reading your responses. If you're not in the group yet, just search for it on Facebook and I will approve you. Looking forward to reading your responses on this and your opinions on this stuff in general. Do you even buy into it at all? So that's going to do it for me for this week. But before I go, a quick reminder, Lyft, not a sponsor of the show. They don't have anything to do with the content. But if you haven't signed up for Lyft yet, if you're still on Uber and you want to help me out and support the show, sign up for Lyft using my promo code, BackseatRider, all one word. It's just the name of this podcast. That is good for $50 in free ride credit. And again, it also helps me out a lot. Backseat Rider is edited by Bob Gilmartin. And also, thank you so much to WTTW and WTTW.com for their support of this podcast. You can look for new episodes of Backseat Rider every Wednesday at PodcastOne.com, the Podcast One app. And if you do have an iPhone, make sure you are subscribed on Apple Podcasts.